Coming up on today's show.
I ended up going to Loretto because I had an extra day there, and I asked people, what should I do? And they said, you should go to Loretto because it's right here. And it never registered to me that, like, Jesus' house was there.
Peace be with you. This is Catholic Sports Radio, located at the intersection of your faith life and sports life, and on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, iHeartRadio, YouTube, the SiriusXM app, and lots of other platforms. I am Bruce Wozniak, talking with Catholic guests who are current or former athletes, coaches, referees, umpires, clergy, administrators, and more from the pro, amateur, and scholastic ranks about the intersection of their faith life and their sports life. The show website is catholicsportsradio.net or catholicsportsradio.com. They will both get you to the same place. Be sure that you have signed up there for the free Catholic Sports Radio e-newsletter that gets sent out every Monday. Social media for the show, Facebook, X, YouTube, and Instagram, all of which there are links for at the top of the website. I invite you to engage with me and the show through one or more of those. The Catholic Sports Radio community, that is the name of the Facebook group, and its members are both listeners as well as some past guests. That's a nice way for you to interact with one another. There is no cost to join that. The quick way to find it is the big white button that is immediately below my picture near the top of the homepage of CatholicSportsRadio.net. I so enjoy hearing from listeners. Social media, as well as the website, all give you the opportunity to contact me, as does traditional email, which you can do through bruce@catholicsportsradio.net. Now on to my ministry moment for this episode. It is unfortunate that occasions such as what I am about to describe are considered rare, meaning that someone has to go out of their way to point out or highlight this type of behavior. I am referring to a high-profile athlete sticking around after practice to help pick up and put things away. It should be standard operating procedure that chipping in and helping out just comes naturally, not to mention without any ulterior motive. It sets a good example for teammates, especially younger players, if someone is going above and beyond rather than being a prima donna. On the faith side, this calls to mind a continuation of a Bible passage I cited 10 weeks ago from the New Testament, Romans chapter 14. Particularly, we were hearing about consideration for the weak conscience. Looking this week at verse 18, it says, quote, "Whoever serves Christ in this way is pleasing to God and approved by others." End quote. I never mentioned this during my ministry moment segments, but if you want more context, I invite you to let this part of the show inspire you to go to Scripture, just as it does for me in preparing to share in this way each week. Moving on now with this week's episode, my guest played tennis at Furman University, with the program consistently finishing as a ranked team. They won the regular season conference championship for D1 Southern Conference 4 times and the tournament 3 times and attended the NCAA tournament every year except for her senior year when she was named MVP. She ran cross country her senior year and a month after graduating ran her first marathon, finishing 2nd in Italy. She had 2 opportunities to run professionally and has run 4 50-miler races, finishing 3rd in the American River 50-miler and winning several 50Ks. She had grown up playing tennis since age 3 and played tournaments in England and Italy. She came to the Catholic faith while in college, which I will ask her about today. Welcome to Catholic Sports Radio, Lauren Evans.
Hi, Bruce. Thanks so much for asking me to be on the show, and thank you very much for this ministry.
My pleasure, my pleasure. I did not even say in all that where you live today, but tell us instead where you were born and raised and what the family size was.
I was born and raised in a military family. My dad was a civilian psychologist for the three different branches of the military. And so we lived in several different overseas countries. So that's where I was raised. And I was an only child.
We will get to the fact that you came to the Catholic faith in college, but what about as a young girl? What was happening faith-wise in the household that you grew up in?
I think that I would describe the household as really no faith. My dad was had actually was grew up Methodist. My mom grew up Methodist, but there was no practicing of the faith, praying, never any praying, no talking about the Bible. But my dad did like art, and he respected the Bible as a, piece of literature, I think. And I grew up in Italy for a while, and we had the opportunity to go in many, many churches. Also, when I lived in England, we went in a lot of churches just to see the art and architecture. So that was the faith environment, I guess.
Interesting, interesting. It's not that I do not believe it. I'm just fascinated to hear about your having started to play tennis at age three. Tell us about that and some of the highlights of the tournaments you went on to play in over in England and Italy.
Yeah, I mean, tennis was something that I don't know if listeners can relate to this, but it certainly wasn't my passion. It was my mom's passion, and she had a plan, when I was born that I was going to play tennis professionally or in college if that was a plan B to get a full scholarship. That was really her goal. And I just remember being a kid, and she bought these plastic rackets and a balloon, and we'd turn the couch and move it like in the middle of the room and hit the ball over, and that was pretty fun, but then once it came to having to get on the court, it was not so fun anymore. So I mean, it's sports are a beautiful thing, but I certainly experienced the parental pressure, which I think is not healthy. That said, I'm grateful that I played tennis. I'm grateful that I ended up on a college team. So those are positives.
But I'm thinking that the tournaments that you were playing in England and Italy, I'm sensing that maybe it wasn't your favorite thing in the world. You weren't so rabid about going out to play, but you must have been successful that, as we're going to discuss, it led to the caliber of play where you were recruited. So, am I right that you were succeeding? It maybe not have been your favorite thing in the world, but you were having some success.
Right. Yeah. I mean, in England, I was at an age where, tennis is one of those sports where you can't start late. It's really rare. I've heard some anomaly stories, but you really, start early. You hit a lot of balls. You play a lot. And the typical way of doing it is then you start, entering tournaments at least by, age 10 or something. So
Wow.
I was 10 or younger, starting to play the tournaments. And in England, it was really an interesting culture, I guess, because they have Wimbledon and the game was invented there. So it's a lot more, like kind of a chivalrous game. I don't know how else to describe it, for men or for ladies. It's like, so I just remember growing up and I'd play individual tournaments on grass. And then we also had like a little team. And after we played our team tournaments, we would have to have tea with the opponents, which is kind of
Wow.
funny. And then in Italy, I mean, I had a little bit of success in England. But then when I went to Italy, I played on the red clay and, was older. And in Italy, the way they function is you can play with, 14 and under, 16 and under, 18 and under, but the majority of the tournaments are just based on your level, and it's more of like a professional system. So you would play against adults.
Wow.
And I really felt that if you're just talking from like a sports development perspective, that was really helpful because adults just think differently. They have more experience. They, you know, just because they're older and have more experience, they're smarter with how they play the game. So I think my tennis game really took off by playing against adults and tournaments. And I won a couple of tournaments. Most of the time it was, you know, semifinals with that kind of thing. And then started when I was old enough, you know, started the recruitment process I had no idea where to go. I just wanted to get a full scholarship.
Yeah, so. I want to start getting into your faith story because it does mix with sports, because you were recruited to several universities, including Alabama and Indiana, but you chose Furman and were able to be on a full scholarship at a high-performing D1 school. It says on the school website that, quote, the university is named for Richard Furman, among the most important Baptist clergymen during the early decades of the new nation, end quote. Take us back to you attending Furman, Lauren, and how you ended up coming to the Catholic faith while you were there.
Right, yeah. When I first got to Furman, it was a culture shock because I had grown up overseas my whole life. I had spent several years with Italians, and then I went to the, you know, the so-called Bible Belt, and it was just a different culture. And so the first semester was really difficult. Like, I wanted to just go home because I was used to it, and it was hard, and it was more comfortable at home. But I didn't. I got on a plane and got back, and I was like, I'm just going to immerse myself in this culture. That was really helpful. I started to look at things in a positive light. And I noticed, you know, one example would be that I'm really grateful for is that even though Furman is no longer a Christian school, which to me is pretty sad, they've kind of thrown those values up. But since it started as a Christian school, since it was where it was in the South, I would go to the library on Sunday morning just because that's when I was like, I have time, you know, I don't have practice. And no one would be there. I mean, there would be like one or two international kids. And after a while, I was like, what is going on, you know? And people were like, well, that's when everyone goes to church. And I thought, well, that's interesting. People are going to church. And a lot of people, you know, went to church there. And mostly, you know, evangelical Christian or the like. But that was that, you know, got me thinking. And then I asked my teammates and they invited me to go with them. So
they invited you to go with them to Catholic Mass or to some other denominational service?
So the Catholics were few, but I was very blessed with having one particular Catholic on the team. My best friend was Catholic, but there was another Catholic girl on the team who I, you know, I'd like to, she played a big role in my conversion. But back to the question, the teammates that I asked, they were, it wasn't a Catholic service. It was just a Christian service.
Okay.
You know, feels like communal prayer. It was wonderful, you know, but I really liked going. I thought this is good. You know, I'm missing something. I love the joy, the communal prayer, but I did feel like something was missing.
So before I have you give us that conversion story, I want the audience to also understand, because I like the job that you did in describing the shock of coming for your first year and the emotions that you felt. Conversely, by the time you got to your senior year, you say that you were very blessed by how the other girls on the cross-country team welcomed you at that point, because there were some hoops that were actually being jumped through to get that to happen. Explain to the audience what I'm referring to.
Yeah, so I played, I guess to explain the situation, I played tennis, you know, I was on tennis scholarship. So it's like a, you know, a job, rightfully so. I mean, my coach was spending a lot of budget on me and I was grateful for it. But the summer before my senior year, I went and took an internship at an investment bank, and that takes a lot of hours. It was in Richmond, Virginia. I didn't know anyone there. I was struggling finding someone to play tennis with. So I started running and I entered a race. I just thought, I'll just do this. And I won the 10K race. And so I thought, and then I met this other young woman who was going to be a professional runner, and it actually became very successful. And she walked right up to me and was like, I need to train with you. And I was like, I don't know what you're talking about. So I just kind of let her train me. I ran with her for a month, and then she said, you need to go run cross country. So that was scary because I didn't know what my coach would say. My tennis coach, she wasn't happy about it, but she supported me. And I just am like eternally grateful for that, because she could have just said no. And, you know, of course, the cross country coach was like, whatever we have to do to get your, you know, tennis coach on board. And so I'm just so grateful for the tennis coach. And I'm also really grateful to the cross country team, because, you know, a lot of them spent their whole lives training and running. And then here I am, and I come out, and, you know, just in reality, you know, I would finish first on the team.
Wow.
And that's hard, you know, to have someone that doesn't even know what they're doing come out and do that, you know. So I thought they were really gracious. They invited me to all their things. Like,
wonderful.
I was, you know, kind of a total idiot with you know, what do you do with running training and all that. So I was really grateful for both the coaches, and especially my tennis coach, and then the cross country team.
No doubt. Friends, episode 311 of this show, January 13th of last year, is when Lauren's husband was my guest on this show. Do go back and listen to my interview with Ryan Evans and his reversion story back to the Catholic faith. Incidentally, it's not there anymore, but the Catholic school that I went to when I was a kid was St. Paul's School in Kenmore, New York. It is a suburb of Buffalo. We were the first ever kindergarten class there, and I attended St. Paul's from kindergarten through eighth grade. Alliance Catholic Credit Union is proud to support Catholic Sports Radio, and they invite you to help them support Catholic education. Through Alliance Catholic Foundation, they provide 20 scholarships every year to families striving to ensure their children can attend a Catholic school. If you become a friend of the foundation, you will help them continue this good work, and you will have an opportunity to open an account with Alliance Catholic Credit Union. Learn more at alliancecatholicfoundation.org. Federally insured by NCUA. Please be sure to tell them you heard about them on Catholic Sports Radio. Last week, I mentioned that a listener had made a financial gift to my ministry and that it was his second time doing so. Well, after hearing my interview with college soccer star Erica Chippa on episode 361, Mike Lynch, who was the guest back on episode 287, made a financial gift to my ministry for the second time also. He is the head women's soccer coach at Belmont Abbey College. Every dollar helps. I recently attended PodFest Multimedia Expo, and although it's quote-unquote just over in Orlando, there are still the costs of a hotel room, meals, gasoline, and so on. Listener support by all means helps as it relates to my otherwise having to try to find some way out of my own pocket to cover any and all expenses associated with operating this ministry on and off the air. If you are new to Catholic Sports Radio, you might be surprised to learn that this is neither my full nor my part-time job, and that I do not get any income from doing this. I am answering a call that the Lord laid on my heart and giving back to the church, all of you, the body of Christ, with my time and talent. If, like Mike Lynch did twice now, you too would like to help me with these costs that I'm challenged with in operating Catholic Sports Radio, I invite you to, as he did, utilize the blue Donate to CSR button on the homepage of CatholicSportsRadio.net. That method is fast, easy, and secure, and it allows you to use a credit card, debit card, or even PayPal to send in your financial gift. Alternatively, if you would rather not put credit card information on the internet, you can mail me a check. Just email me through bruce@catholicsportsradio.net and I will reply with the details. And then, as you are hearing me do this week with Mike Lynch, and as I have done before with other listeners and guests who have made a contribution, I will happily say your name on an upcoming episode of the show as a public thanks, or as some have directed me to do, you can ask to remain anonymous. I'm grateful for your prayerful consideration as to this form of tithing and showing your support for your belief in this ministry and helping me continue on in my walk with Christ and all of you through this ministry of faith and sports. Lauren, please pick the conversation back up as it relates to your turn to the Catholic faith while you're in college.
So I had been going to the evangelical services, and I felt like something was missing because I think growing up in Italy, there was some form of osmosis of, you know, going in and, you know, actually having the presence of Christ in the church, in the tabernacle. I felt like something was missing, like right in the center of the church. And I had a teammate named Monica who went on to actually discern and then become a professed religious sister. And she's with the Servants of the Pierced Hearts of Jesus and Mary. If there's any young men and women, I highly recommend looking, you know, into this beautiful bilingual sisterhood and brotherhood. It's so wonderful. But anyway, I think Monica was praying for me. She was on my team. She was just this amazing tennis player, a lot better than me. And I remember sitting in the library, and the chapel was like kind of far from the library, but like you had to cross in front of the library to get there. And our school color was purple. So I just remember Monica like running across campus in her purple sweatpants, and it really early in the morning, one, you know, winter, spring. And eventually I was like, what are you doing? Like it's 8 o'clock, you know, it's 8 o'clock in the morning. Like, what are you doing? And she didn't want to tell me. I kept saying, what are you doing? Like, and she's like, oh, I'm going to daily mass for Lent. And I just thought, that is an incredible witness. You know, here she goes, and we're all tired and all that, and exams, and she's wearing a daily mass in her purple sweatpants. And I just thought, wow. So I started going to mass with her, and I started going every Sunday when it was on campus. And after a while, I said, I want to be Catholic.
Wow.
And it was just like Monica had just known, wow. You know, she had never said anything like you should really consider. She would encourage me to come, but she never said, get out your butt, you know, like you need to read, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
And it was just going with her and her faithfulness. And it, I guess it rubbed off. And so she said, that's great, you know, and she went and talked to the priest, and this priest is, but was a Franciscan priest, Father Pat Tuttle, I think. I never saw him again, really. But he agreed to meet with me. And unfortunately, or fortunately, or just God's providence, I only had like 2 months before I graduated. So he had to make a decision, like, what do I do with this person? There's no time for RCIA.
Yeah.
In a big process.
He had to fast track it.
You only have 2 months. That's what he said. He made the decision to fast track it. I believe it was a prayerful, and I believe it was a correct decision. I don't recommend it, you know, but he fast tracked it by very fast. And I also was graduating, going back home to Italy. And that was the month I ran my first marathon. I was really, you know, and then I came back and I went to his, you know, normal parish church for the first time. And it was a African American Catholic church, which I had no idea, you know, I hadn't seen that before, but it was so wonderful. Like, I cannot express the joy and how much I just, it was such a blessing. I just went there, and this is, you know, some clergy may not like this, but he had actually forgotten that he is.
Oh my gosh.
Give me the first, you know, the sacraments of initiation on that day. And I said, no, you told me, you know, June 16th, you told me to be here. And he, you know, again, had to make the decision, and he did. And he just brought me up and in front of the whole congregation, you know, I received the sacraments of initiation. And it was truly a, I had not been baptized. And that was a, it's very important to get your children baptized because it shows, you know, that made me realize how important baptism was. But I certainly had a experience of Christ in the sacraments, being older too, you know, just how light it was. And it was wonderful. And
beautiful.
Then I was sent on my way.
But you had done something that you call an unofficial pilgrimage earlier in life. You said that you found yourself in Loretto.
Yeah, I think I probably went on a lot of unofficial pilgrimages, you know, the church, you know, where the St. Catherine Laboureau with the miraculous medal, like I remember that. I remember the other, you know, Mont Saint Michel, like the other places that we went.
Wow.
But I think having the awareness that I'm about to become a Catholic Christian. And that was when I went by myself to run this marathon in Italy. And again, I was in Italy because my parents were living there with the military, you know, background and all that. And I went to run the marathon. I was very close to Loretto. And I think I had an awareness that, like, you know, this is a special place. So, you know, I ended up going to Loretto because I had an extra day there, and I asked people, what should I do? And they said, you should go to Loretto because it's right here. And it never registered to me that, like, Jesus's house was there. Of course, I've read about it since. I'd like to go back with the awareness. I don't know why I didn't understand that, but I had a profound, you know, experience there of just, you know, the timelessness and the reality and the truth of God and his plan for us. And, you know, he's got us from the past, you know, the present and the future, and how it's all connected. And
yeah, and here's
and
the
he really
thing
has a plan.
You had mentioned the word osmosis before, but I believe that seeds were being planted, all these quote-unquote unofficial pilgrimages that you didn't really realize at the time, that's what they were clearly pointing you towards. You have also been on the leadership for or led 3 40 Days for Life campaigns. What drew you to that particular initiative?
As I had mentioned, I was on the fast track, and God bless Father Patrick Tuttle for, you know, giving me the sacraments. But
yeah,
I was on the fast track, and so I hadn't received good formation. So when people said Catholics believe that, you know, in the sanctity of life, I didn't get it. Like, I was like, oh, that just must be like an extra thing, or that you can or whatever, can't believe, don't have to. So that was a process of switching from the liberal, politically secular view, which I grew up with, that abortion is an enshrined right as a human being. It's very sad, but like shifting from that to actually being pro-life. And it was actually a priest, and if there's any priest listening, the priest said, you know, very clearly, you cannot vote. It was during an election year. You cannot vote for this party platform because of the abortion issue. And that made me, I didn't understand. I was like, I don't get it. Like, so, but it was his saying that so clearly that made me look more into it.
Yeah.
And so when I finally came to the understanding that, like, wow, like, this is the battle, is for life, and abortion is like the scourge, you know, on humanity, it's like the biggest thing, that I really wanted to do something about it. That's how I got involved with 40 Days for Life.
Okay.
At the time.
Okay. Well, just to bring sports back around, I mentioned back in the intro that you had two opportunities to run professionally, and that you have run 4 50-miler races, and have won several 50Ks. You actually turned down those two opportunities to run professionally. Tell us about that, as well as whether you still do any races or marathons today.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, you make decisions in life, and I'm grateful for the decisions, but they're hard because running professionally is fun, and you know, it's fun to play sports, like it's awesome. But I think I just realized, like, you know, however good I get, like, I am not going to be on the Olympic podium. And there was just something in me that was like, you need to just live your life and work. So there was also an element of the, you know, secular culture, like you need to make money kind of thing. But that, however that, you know, good or bad, making money is good. But I think my drive was a little too high. And that's why I turned those down. I thought I'll just, okay, you know, climb the professional ladder or the, you know, the working ladder. But in doing that, that's how I met my husband. So that was a positive, you know, for sure.
Do you still do any races or marathons today?
I'm pregnant with my fifth child. So I really struggle with running at all during pregnancy. And then there's the recovery. So by the time I get fit enough, you know, I'll typically do like a couple race. Like I did a 50K this summer and then shortly after got pregnant. So kind of like, yeah, it really like, it isn't good for like trying to get faster, I guess. But it's okay because it's worth it. You end up with a baby.
So speaking of being pregnant with your fifth child, let's close by having you tell the audience all about how much the Catholic faith is practiced in your household with your four kids. I'm talking about a long list of actions you referred to in an email you sent me leading up to today.
Yeah, I have just found that motherhood is difficult and marriage is difficult. They're also like incredible blessings. And for me to, you know, thrive in those situations and to be the best mom I can be, the best wife I can be, even though I, you know, I fail daily, but I, to get back up and to try again, like living the sacraments was really like the only way that I found that makes it possible. And to, you know, the biggest goal is that I will remain in relationship with my kids as they grow up. And that they will become saints. And, you know, the goal of marriage is to mutually sanctify, you know, each other for mutual sanctification. So we pray the rosary nightly because Mary told us to, not just us, but tells the whole world to. That's why we do it. And we pray with all the kids sitting in the living room. I go to take the kids to daily mass, right? Currently I'm homeschooling. So it's always a fun adventure to get out and go to daily mass. And personally, I pray the liturgy of the hours because it's an extension of the, you know, the worship of the church. You know, we do other things like we've consecrated our family to the Sacred Heart of Jesus and St. Joseph. And I do a Marian consecration each year. Not just because it's one more thing, but because, you know, I feel called to do it. Why be mediocre? I think that's the best lesson, like, from sports is, like, you can't really be mediocre and succeed. So it's, like, you take what you learned in sports and you have to apply it to the spiritual life. You can't be mediocre in the spiritual life. That's called being lukewarm, you know?
Wow, I love it. I love it. And give us the date. I'm guessing that you have a date from the doctor so that we can all be praying for you up to then.
Yeah, please. I need a lot of prayers, as do all pregnant women. It can be really difficult. But the date is April 22nd, so hopefully sometime in April.
Well, for what it's worth, I know two people that have April 22nd as their birthday. So we'll take any sign that we can that they're good signs. So audience, please, you hear Lauren's due date is April 22nd. So please be in prayer for her. Lauren, thank you so much for making time out of your crazy busy schedule to be on Catholic Sports Radio. Very much appreciate it. God bless you and your family.
Thank you so much, Bruce, for your ministry. We all appreciate it.
My pleasure. My pleasure. And audience, it's fitting that we close this week's episode with a prayer for parents. So let's do that together right now in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Grant us, O Lord Jesus, the strength to imitate faithfully the example of your holy family and to make our home another Nazareth. May peace, love, and happiness prevail in all things and all games. Grant us the grace to be the parents we should be for our children. Grant that our child may find solid support for their human dignity and for their growth in truth and love. Within the embrace of their team, may Saint Sebastian watch and guide them in their efforts as he guides us in support of our children. Amen.
Amen.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
Thanks so much for listening. This is Catholic Sports Radio. Find more at catholicsportsradio.net, as well as on Facebook, X, and Instagram. It is at Cath Sports Radio on all those, C-A-T-H, at Cath Sports Radio. I'm Bruce Wozniak, and remember, it's not whether you win or lose, it's that it's Jesus that you always choose. We'll be right back.